As President Trump has said, and the facts clearly bear out, the United States of America holds all the cards. There is no scenario here in which, if they decide to join a ladder of escalation, they wind up getting the last say. But our preference is for these straits to be opened to the way they're supposed to be opened, back to the way it was. Anyone can use it, no mines in the water, nobody paying tolls. That's what we have to get back to, and that's the goal here.
This is my video update on this Wednesday, early evening, May the 6th. Let's talk about some news. And before we begin, just a quick reminder to like this video if you like what you see. And if you are not subscribed to this channel, then please subscribe to this channel. And if you have any hypes left, if you are watching this on YouTube from your mobile device, you get 3 hypes per week. And so if you have any hypes and you want to allocate one of those hypes to this video, that would be very much appreciated. Eh, Podoliak? Very much appreciated. All right, let's talk about some news. And what a crazy, crazy freaking day with all the news on Iran, on the peace talks and the negotiations with Iran. Absolutely crazy stuff. So Rubio, he spoke to the media, and I think this is the first time that Rubio actually stepped up to the podium and spoke to the press. And the stuff that Rubio was saying was pretty wild. It was pretty wild. Rubio was talking about how the United States just wants to go back to the way things were with Hormuz open and free. Let's just go back to how it was when Hormuz was all open and was all free and there were no fees and none of that stuff. Let's just go back to those times. And he started to talk about how that is the objective of this conflict, is to open up Hormuz and to get back to the free movement through Hormuz, the free trade through the strait. Okay, so that's what he said. And then he announced that Operation Epic Fury is over. He said, Epic Fury is done, finito, no more. And then he started to talk about Project Freedom. So the focus now is on Project Freedom, and it's all about Hormuz and opening up Hormuz. And then 5 hours later, Trump posts on Truth Social that Project Freedom is no more. Project Freedom is on pause. So Rubio is saying that it's all about Project Freedom now, and Operation Epic Fury is over, and we're going to focus on Hormuz and Project Freedom. And then Trump posts on Truth Social a couple of hours later, yeah, Project Freedom is on pause. And Project Freedom's on pause, according to Trump, because they're very close to some sort of a deal. And then Axios puts out some information about a deal that is being cooked up with Pakistan mediating. And we're very close to some sort of a negotiated settlement, an end to the war. And the settlement looks very much like the JCPOA. We're talking about opening up Hormuz. We're talking about a moratorium on uranium enrichment, a 12 to 15 year duration on Iran's moratorium on uranium enrichment, an end to the war. What else? Iran sanctions are lifted. You also have some frozen assets which are returned to Iran. And that's what the media was running with. So that's the outline, the summary of some sort of a deal that is about to be announced. And then Iran, and so oil drops, right? Oil drops to under 90 on all of this news. And then Iran comes out with a statement and says, look, yeah, talks are proceeding. Pakistan is doing a good job mediating. But we're nowhere near close to any kind of deal. There's going to be no negotiation. There's going to be no sitting at a table just yet. We still got a long way to go. And all of these reports about some sort of a deal about to be announced very soon is nonsense. And then oil goes back up over 95 or approaching 100. So oil is going up and down, up and down. And of course, you have someone who's trading on all of this. Someone placed a bet of $920 million on all of this news. Someone is making bank. And then Iran announces that that they're going to launch a website, an email service and a website called the Persian Gulf Strait Authority to manage traffic and charge tolls in the Strait of Hormuz. So ships are going to be able to access this website, to send an email to Iran, then access this website. Then they're going to pay their fees, and then they're going to get free passage, or they're going to get passage, not free passage. They're going to pay their fees, and then they're going to get safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz. It was a wild day of news when it comes to Iran. Very wild day. From Zero Hedge, Iran pours cold water on deal euphoria. What U.S. media outlets are publishing about the details of the negotiations does not reflect the reality of what is happening. According to Al Arabi, citing Iranian sources, progress has been made in talks with Washington through Pakistan, but it has not yet reached a level that would lead to an agreement. The negotiations are focused on ending the war, not the nuclear issue. Yeah, everything that Axios is putting out there and everything that's coming out of the United States seems to be focused on the uranium enrichment. And it's very much like the JCPOA. Almost exactly like the JCPOA, with the exception that you now have to open up the Strait of Hormuz. You didn't have that during the JCPOA. During the JCPOA, during that time, the Strait of Hormuz was open and it was free. But they're focusing on the uranium enrichment, according to the Collective West media reports. And Iran is coming out with statements saying that it's not about the uranium enrichment. They want a complete settlement to the war, and they don't want to be attacked again in the future. So that's pretty much the news with Iran. I'm trying to see if there's anything else that I need to say. President Trump says it is too soon to start preparations for the signing of a peace deal with Iran, per the New York Post. U.S. oil prices are now back above $95 a barrel on the news. Yeah, after Iran announced the website and the email and charging a fee for ships to pass through the Strait of Hormuz, and when the announcements started coming in about how U.S. and Iran are not close to a deal, nothing's going to be signed, we get the New York Post citing President Trump, who is also now saying, yeah, nothing's going to be signed just yet in terms of a deal. So oil goes back up over $95. ABC News. In his first turn at the White House briefing room podium, Secretary of State Marco Rubio declared that Operation Epic Fury in Iran is over and that the U.S. is moving on to Project Freedom and efforts to move traffic through the Strait of Hormuz. And then Trump says Project Freedom is paused. Project Freedom was the operation, the project where the United States was going to guide ships through the Strait of Hormuz, not escort the ships out of the Strait of Hormuz, but guide them, give them advice as to the best route to take if they want to try to get out of the Strait of Hormuz. That was Project Freedom. Project Freedom lasted for about 24 hours or 15 hours. I don't know. How long did Project Freedom last for? Project Freedom? No more Project Freedom. Poor Rubio. He's saying that Epic Fury is over and now it's all about Project Freedom. And then one of his advisors had to tell him, Marco, what is it? The Project Freedom thing? Yeah, that's also been paused. Come on. Okay, Epic Fury is over. Project Freedom is paused. Yeah, the Trump White House, they're not communicating well. They're not on the same page. You know, all the talk about how Iran is not united and there's all kinds of fighting and they're not all in agreement as to how to negotiate this with the United States. That's projection. It's the Trump White House, which is just all over the place. They are all over the freaking place. So so the IRGC, actually, they just an update on the UAE strikes. They denied hitting the pipeline. Now, should you believe Iran or the IRGC? Probably not, but maybe, maybe. They say they didn't hit the pipeline, but of course they could be BSing. They could be telling the truth as well. So anyway, that's the story with the UAE pipeline. What else? Arachi is in China. He is meeting with China, and he's got the support of China. China came out with a pretty big statement of support for Iran. They are backing Iran 100%. And it's important that Arachi is in China and he's coordinating with the Chinese. And he's got China's support because next week, Trump is on his way to China. So I think next week, we'll definitely get a good idea as to where all of this is going. If we're going to have more military operations, if everything's going to fall apart, or if we're going to get to some sort of an off-ramp or a deal. We have to wait for Trump's trip to China. That's what I think is going to clear things up. Maybe clear things up. That would be my guess. Rubio called, Lavrov called Rubio. The call was initiated by Russia, actually. And they said that they talked about Project Ukraine, but I have a sense that my sense is that they talked more about Iran. Lavrov and Rubio, according to the Russian readout, the top diplomats compared notes on the current state of international affairs and Russia-U.S. relations and discussed the schedule of upcoming bilateral contacts. The ministry said in a statement, the Russian Foreign Ministry, the conversation was constructive and businesslike, it added. Look, there's diplomacy taking place. But I think Russia and China, they're also trying to figure out what is going on with the United States. They're all over the place. They don't have any idea as to how to get out of this mess. And so I think China and Russia are trying to figure things out, maybe to try and guide the United States to an off-ramp, perhaps. Perhaps Lavrov is speaking with Rubio and they're coordinating everything to see how to help the United States get an off-ramp out of this mess. Maybe. So the ceasefire for the 5th and the 6th that was declared by Le Gobelin Vert. That ceasefire never started. It was broken before it started. Who broke it? There's all kinds of arguments on social media as to who broke what. Russia never agreed to it to begin with. Le Gobelin Vert declared the ceasefire in response to Russia and the Russian military declaring a ceasefire on May 8th and 9th, and then issuing a very strong statement to the collective West, to Ukraine, to not, don't you dare send drones into Moscow on our Victory Day parade event. If you do, then we are going to eviscerate Kiev. That was pretty much the statement from the Russian military. And so after that statement was made, Le Gobelin Vert, with his collective West puppet masters, they decided to announce their own ceasefire as a way to save face and to respond to Russia's strongly worded warning and the announcement of the May 8th. Ceasefire. So we had May the 5th, we're now on May the 6th, and there were all kinds of attacks and strikes from Ukraine into Russia, from Russia into Ukraine. Ukraine launched big strikes into Russia, drone strikes into Russia, but they also launched strikes into Crimea. There were many, many deaths and casualties. Russia also launched strikes into Ukraine. And there were also casualties and deaths in those strikes as well. And so the ceasefire, if there ever was one, that Zelensky declared, well, that thing's over before it even started. But the important ceasefire is the 8th and the 9th. That's the important one, because the 5th and the 6th, as I explained just now, and I explained in my video yesterday, we know why they announced the ceasefire, the 5th and the 6th. But the important one is the Russian Victory Day ceasefire, where Russia has told the collective West, NATO, and Ukraine, don't you dare attack Moscow. Now, did the Russian military issue a warning for attacking Russia? Because I wonder if the collective West, NATO, and Ukraine, I wonder if they're going to not attack Moscow, but perhaps they might send drones into other areas of Russia. And if that happens, then what does Russia do? So they stay away from Moscow, from the main event, but maybe on May 9th, they decide to attack other areas in Russia. Maybe go after Crimea again. Maybe go after some regions on the Black Sea. That could be a possibility. I don't know what Russia's response would be if we see that on May 9th. You know, Sweden is conducting reconnaissance missions over the Black Sea. So they're checking out what is happening in and around the Black Sea, Sweden. So something could be going down in a couple of days. The Swedish Air Force conducted a longer reconnaissance mission over the Black Sea. Yeah, the Crimean Bridge, Sevastopol, as well as Tuapse, where a repeatedly attacked oil refinery is located. Sweden is systematically participating in the NATO war's reconnaissance network against Russia. So we're going to have to wait a couple of days and see what happens. Hopefully the ceasefire holds and Ukraine and the collective West don't launch any attacks anywhere in Russia. But I'm not so sure. I am not so sure at all. Sweden is also putting together their own MI6, their own intel services, their own intel service modeled after the UK's MI6, which basically is code for saying that the MI6 is going to open up an office in Sweden. That's what that means. So I thought that was some interesting news. So in Romania, we had the no confidence vote, and the pro-EU government has collapsed. The pro-EU government of Bolojan got absolutely hammered in the no confidence vote. It was something like 281-4, 285-4. I mean, he got absolutely pummeled. Talk about no confidence, bro. You've got no confidence. But look, this is the Romanian government that was set up after the globalist EU elite decided to rig and meddle in the Romanian elections and to cancel the elections because they didn't like the fact that Iordanescu was winning. And then they did their little do-over and they ran with the lie that Russia was meddling in TikTok. And then we had Romanian media, which did a really good job. Independent media did a really good job in investigating all of the Russian TikTok. And they found that nothing of the such was going on. And it was actually other Romanian parties that were meddling in TikTok. And so, look, you have all of this meddling from the globalist cool kids so that they can remove or prevent Iordanescu from winning fair elections, and they can put put their own guy in there. That's exactly what happened. And now you have an unstable government situation in Romania, and you also have austerity. You also have a lot of austerity going on in Romania because the economic situation is a mess. And so now you have a government collapse. We're not going to go into elections. That's my understanding of things. Simeon is calling for snap elections, but I don't think we're there. I don't think we're going to head into elections in Romania. I don't know. Let me know in the comments down below. People living in Romania, if we're going to head to elections. My understanding of things is that President Dan is going to consult with other party leaders, and they're going to try and put a government together. They have to put a government in place by, I believe, by August. And if they manage to put a government in place, and if they manage to keep the austerity going and to keep their boots on the neck of the Romanian people, then they're going to get rewarded 11 billion euros in EU funding. That's what's at stake. 11 billion euros if they can keep the austerity moving forward. They get a reward from Van der Pirate, 11 billion euros, which will go to Romania, and then Romania is going to pay that to Le Coblin Vert, and then Le Coblin Vert is going to give that money to the military companies. We know how the washing machine spins. So sticking with Le Coblin Vert, it looks like he found a good grift, a big money-making scheme that he is now doubling and tripling down on, and that is weapons production. Ukraine is going to produce all kinds of weapons, and it's going to need funding to produce all kinds of weapons because Ukraine is going to be the defensive shield for Europe against the Putin. And Ukraine is already entering into joint ventures for drone manufacturing, and all kinds of money is being dished out to EU member states and non-EU member states like the UK, who wants to get in on some of this drone manufacturing action in cooperation with Ukraine. Of course, the facilities are located in the EU member state countries, not in Ukraine, but you have to be in that joint venture with Ukraine in order to get the money from all of these funds to make drones. And then you have the missile production, the fictitious Flamingo missile production, which is also getting funded. And now you have, from Politico, Ukraine races to build its own missile shield as Patriot supplies run short. So Ukraine is now going to build an alternative to the Patriot air defense systems or alternative Patriot interceptors, Patriot missiles. Right. That's going to need money too, by the way. So there's that 11 billion that's going to go to Romania after August. If President Dan manages to put a government together, that 11 billion can go to the Green Goblin so he can put together the Ukraine Patriot system. What is Zelensky saying here? I believe Europe should be able to produce everything it needs to defend against everything, all the ballistic attacks and all other weapons on its own, Ukraine President Zelensky told fellow leaders during a summit of European political community in Armenia on Monday. The United States has greenlit bombs to Ukraine, $250 million or $350 million in bombs, which will be sent from the United States to Ukraine. That's the United States, which is the neutral mediator between Russia and Ukraine, sending $300+ million in weapons to Ukraine. Let's do some Cloud Worlds and wrap this video up as the sun goes down. Sunset over the Acropolis, all the way down there. So Pashinyan and Macron, I think that's going to be my first clown world for today. What is up with Pashinyan and Macron? So check out the video of Pashinyan saying goodbye to little Napoleon. It's a long goodbye. There's a couple of hugs. Macron runs up the airplane stairs, turns around, looks at Pashinyan one more time. Pashinyan, the leader of Armenia, Pashinyan, I believe, does the heart symbol. I can't take it. What is happening in the world? Who are these leaders? I think he did the heart symbol. I'm 99% sure he does this with Macron. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But that's how it looked to me. And that's his goodbye to Macron. Weird stuff. You know who this is going to anger the most? These images, this video, this new friendship between Macron and Pashinyan. It's going to anger Zelensky. That's who it's going to anger. Podolyak, what is going on here? Who's this guy that Macron is hugging so much? Who's this Pac-Man guy? It's Pashinyan, Mr. President Pashinyan. Pac-Man's a video game. Oh, yes. I remember that video game, that little thing eating those dots. It was a good video game, Podolyak. What kind of perfume does this Pac-Man have? It's Pashinyan. He's not wearing Zelensky number 5. It's something else. He's wearing something else. Macron lacks it. He lacks it a lot. Crazy stuff. So Trump was at the White House. And he was surrounded by kids. I'm not sure what the event was, why the kids were in the Oval Office. It looks like they're wearing football shirts. Maybe for the World Cup, maybe something connected to the World Cup. At least that's what it looks like to me. But Trump started to talk about, with all these kids surrounding his desk, Trump starts to talk about Iran and nuclear weapons and nuclear war and nuclear destruction. And all these kids are surrounding Trump and they're just listening to the President of the United States. These poor kids are listening to the President of the United States talk about nuclear war and destruction and Iran getting a nuclear weapon. That was weird. Probably not the best time for Trump to launch into his Iran can never get a nuke and Iran was going to nuke everybody. And if Iran gets a nuke, they're going to destroy the world. Probably not the best time to go into that speech when you have kids around you. Rubio DJ'd a wedding a couple of days ago. That's not a joke. Rubio popped up at someone's wedding and he started to DJ. Yeah. And someone asked Rubio as he was speaking to the media today or yesterday, they asked, what is your DJ name, Mr. Secretary of State? And Rubio said, you're not ready for my DJ name. What would be a good DJ name for Marco Rubio? What would be a good DJ name? Let me know in the comments down below. I'm trying to think of a DJ name. DJ Marco, DJ Rubio. What would be a good DJ name for little Marco Rubio? DJ Little Marco, maybe. Can't think of a good DJ name for Rubio. And finally, we have Politico with an article on Merz with the title, The Incredible Shrinking German Chancellor. Politico is going hard against Merz. They don't like Merz. They want Merz gone, Politico. The globalists, there's a globalist faction which is connected to Politico Media. And they are not happy with BlackRock Merz. They're running a lot of negative articles on poor Mr. Merz, poor Mr. BlackRock Merz, the incredible shrinking Merz. Okay, I think I'm going to end it there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X. We are on Rumble and Telegram. go to the Durant shop, pick up some merch. Check us out on Substack. And like this video, share this video, subscribe to this channel. Smash that hype button. And I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.